Welcome back to episode 217 of the Tall Boy Radio Podcast. And as we always say, who knows where it goes when the beer flows? Well, it will be flowing tonight, I can promise you that. Except for this young man here, Gary.
Evening all, evening the world. Yeah, except for me, because I have to drive. I'm on dad taxi duties later. My daughter is out watching Niall Horan in concert. So I am on, unfortunately, a 0% Corona, which is all right, but it has no alcohol, so it can't really be all right. But it's not too bad, to be fair. So if you look at it, I won't give away too much about who our guest is and what he's doing, but he's shaking his head vigorously as if, like, no can do.
Indeed, indeed, and rightly so, rightly so. So, yeah, happy birthday, Abby, if you are watching this. It's a lot better than Niall Horan, I can promise you that. So, welcome back to the world's most eclectic podcast. Last week, we were talking to a man who was filming Robert De Niro, who was saying his iconic lines into the mirror. Are you talking to me? This week, we're talking to somebody else. We're talking to somebody else with a pint in his hand. Did you want to say hello, Dale, and tell us a little bit about what you do?
Hi, guys. How are you? My name's Dale. I am one half of an escapade. Let's call it an escapade, known as the Great British Pub Crawl, whereby myself and my lovely wife, Holly, are attempting to overdrink in every single boozer in the entire United Kingdom. So, yeah, it's a different one.
I'm not gonna lie, dude. It's a big challenge. Do you know how many boozers there are in the UK? Just out of interest.
Well, Google told me 60,000 roughly when I looked it up 2 years ago, nearly 2 years ago. But Google lies. I found that out a lot on opening times. And Google isn't always right, so who knows? I mean, whether that 60,000 included micro pubs, social clubs. We've been in the odd cinema just because it does alcohol. Didn't watch a film. Just went in for a beer. So yeah, probably more than 60,000.
Yeah. So, and just out of interest, how many are down? How many have you been to now?
2,728. I think we're on.
Wow,
it's not bad. Telling,
it's impressive. Yeah,
it's just 2 years. So March the 16th this year will be our 2 year anniversary of when this crazy adventure started. Holly thought I'd get bored after the first 20, so she agreed to it. She underestimated my love for pubs and alcohol. So the joke's on her, really.
It sounds like it. And I'm curious. So when you say that you're about 2.5 or however many thousand down, when you visit pubs, do you visit one, have one drink, then on the same night go to a different one, and then the same night go to a different? Like, do you do multiple pubs in one night? And what's the maximum number of pubs you've ever done in a night, I suppose?
We do multiple. We go to a different town at least 3 times a week. So religiously, I'm out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we attempt to do as many as we possibly can in the town. So we go to a random town, probably most of the time that we've never heard of, never been to before, and it's like sticking a pin in the map, really. We set about the town or the pubs and get through as many as we can. 29 in a day is the record.
And a beer in each.
That is having a half a beer or a spirit or a bottle or something like that in each pub, yeah.
And I'm assuming that's then a stop overnight or a taxi home.
Oh, yeah. We spend a lot of time in hotels these days, let's say that.
Wow.
Ah, fair play.
I'm a bit jealous, actually. I'm not going to lie.
I know. I tell you what, we started this podcast, we could have been using our time a lot more productively.
Absolutely.
Well, if I can only inspire two people, that's what I set out to do. You know?
Just make that difference to two middle-aged men who are still looking for purpose in life.
Yeah, and we'll continue to look. So, yeah. So, I mean, I've seen you've got quite local to us as well. So you made it all the way to Congleton.
Yes, we did. Beartown.
That's right.
Beartown, that's right, yeah.
And the Beartown Tap, what a pub. What a great pub. But Congleton in general, we loved it. When I say we go to towns that we've never heard of, until we started this pub crawl, I can honestly say I'd never heard of Congleton.
Well,
there's some decent boozers, like you say. The Beartown Tap there is pretty decent. That's been done up not so long ago as well, so you probably visited a really, really good time and make some pretty decent beers as well.
Yeah, Beartown are decent. We've had a few. We sampled a few on the podcast, haven't we? You visited on more than one occasion.
Absolutely. So is there anywhere else in South Cheshire where you've got relatives? We're based in a little town called Allsager. I don't imagine you've ever come here, but there are a few boozers here, aren't there?
Yeah, there's a few.
we're going to need to get there at some point. So you'll have to join us on that one. So
100%.
Oh yeah. Well, we'll never. Well, yeah. Maybe not on a Tuesday night, but maybe on a Friday or a Saturday. That would work for us.
100%. I mean, what South Cheshire crew?
Yeah, crew's about sort of 5-10 minutes away from where we are. Yeah,
crew was a bit of a washout, to be honest. I mean, there's not much there anymore. There was I think there were two decent beer houses and a big market hall.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Really, really nice. The market hall with a tap room. And loads of street food and stuff going on. That was pretty cool in Crewe. And I think there was one over the bridge, there's one little real ale pub. And then down a side street, there was one sort of Belgian beer house.
Yes.
That was really good. That was really good. But aside from that, Crewe was, there wasn't much there.
No, it's a bit of a shithole.
Yeah. I was about to say that. I mean, that's probably the best definition of Crewe I've heard.
Yeah, I was trying to be reserved. But yeah, a few people did say it was a shithole. Yeah.
Yeah. And they weren't wrong.
No, they weren't wrong. Like I say, the hall there, since they've done that up with, you know, that's got a few sort of craft beer places in it.
Yeah.
That's not too bad. There's a place called Tom's Tap as well, which isn't too bad there as well. But yeah, that Belgian, the Belgian place, which is just around the corner from Tesco's, if you know it well.
Yeah, and I suppose, if you go into Crewe, then you could just pop along into Sandbach, and there's a couple of decent places. Sandbach is another little sort of town just next to Crewe. It's literally like 5 minutes away from Crewe sort of thing. And there's a couple of decent boozers in there, isn't there? So if you did visit them as well.
A few times, so that's definitely on our radar. Tom's Tap was the other one I was thinking of that was good. Yeah, just down the road from that is the Real Ale House as well.
Right.
Yeah. That's the one. Yeah, so it sounds like, I mean, you're literally, maybe sort of like Gaz says, it's just a couple of miles away, isn't it? Crewe is a short drive away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Sandbach, if you go to Sandbach Beer Emporium, we've had them on the podcast before.
Yeah.
Well worth a visit.
We might even be doing Nantwich.
Right,
That must be close.
Oh, okay. It's a little bit further out than Chris. And Nantwich is probably, 20 minutes? Something like that. So, again, not too far. A couple of decent places. Don't go out in Nantwich that much, really. Don't really know it that well. Probably know Crewe and Sandbach a little better. But like loads of local guys, they go out around Nantwich and say it's decent. There's a couple of decent places. So I haven't been for years. I can't put you in any particular direction, I'm afraid.
No. There are a few decent pubs there. But like you say, same as yourself, guys. It was a while since I got there. So the question has to be then, dude, what was it that started you off on this magical mystery tour of the pubs of Great Britain?
Well, what started me off on the tour was an article in Nottinghamshire Live that came up. So we live in Nottinghamshire, obviously. An article came on and it said the best 5 pubs in Nottinghamshire, and I'd had a beer by then. So I says to Holly, I says, well, how the fuck do they know what the best 5 pubs in Nottinghamshire are? I bet they haven't been to them all. And she went, well, of course they haven't been to them all. It's just, so I said, right, I'm going to go to every pub in Nottinghamshire, and next year when they share this article, I'm going to correct them and say, well, actually, these are the best 5 pubs in Nottinghamshire and I've been to them all. And she sort of went along with it. She went, well, of course you are, dear. Yeah, of course you're going to go to all the pubs in Nottinghamshire. So we set out originally just to go to all the pubs in Nottinghamshire. And then we did that and wanted to carry on. So it kind of progressed from there.
All the pubs in Nottinghamshire, dude. That sounds like a lot.
That sounds mad.
Yeah.
Yep. About 720 or so, I think.
I tell you what, dude. That's a journey, isn't it? And do you remember them all?
No, not anymore. I mean, up until a certain point, I could remember a certain. Someone would say, "Oh, well, you know, such and such, and in Retford," or and I'd go, "Oh, I know the pub." Yeah. Now, no, I've got no chance anymore of remembering it. Unless it sticks out as being a really good place or a really terrible one.
Yes,
they don't stick out.
Yeah. So when you say that you were going to sort of correct them on, the best 5 pubs, what sort of criteria do you have a criteria? Is it just how you feel on the day? Do you rank them in a particular preference, or how does that work? Do you just want a beer in one?
Again, yeah, every pub, I learned a long time ago that just because I think a pub's great doesn't mean that everybody else would. And just because I think a pub's terrible doesn't mean everyone else. So we try and look at everything with sort of an unbiased eye now. And even if it's not to our taste or our cup of tea, what I do when I do the reviews on Facebook is I put down what they offer. So if you go into a pub and it offers Carling, Foster's, John Smith's and Strongbow as their main line and things like that, then I'm going to think the pub's shit.
Yeah, and I would agree with you.
But that doesn't mean that everybody thinks that is shit, because some people live to drink Carling I mean, hopefully they don't live very long. But so just because I think that people who drink Carling shouldn't really be allowed in a pub or out without their carer doesn't mean that the pub is going to be that. You have to look at it different ways. So I like craft beer. I like a good stout and things like that. So I look at what they offer as beer, and you take everything to account. If they offer good food, I just try and put everything into the review. But if a pub stands out for me, it's usually because of its craft beer offering.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm same as yourself. I love a good craft beer as well. So just out of interest then, give us your favourite beer, whether that you've had it on tap or it's one that you've had in your own home. A couple of your favourite beers and a couple of the places which are the best place to have those beers.
Oh, well, I mean, I said I'm a sucker now these days for the sours. So the Vault City sours are the pinnacle of the sour beer for me. And I mean, not so long ago, we went up to Edinburgh. So we went to the Wee Vault, which is the Vault City tap room itself. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I had two or three different ones while I was in there. We wanted to get on as well. And I was now, I want to try this one. I want to try this one. I mean, Vault City have got some absolutely magical flavors. And like that. There's a new one out called Stupid, which is like a banana chocolate. You know already the one I'm talking about.
I've not managed to get my hands on it. It was sold out on their website when I looked.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Well, interestingly, Adam, you got a story about when we visited Edinburgh. I mean, and we went into a particular sort of craft beer, and we were perusing the beer fridge as such, and we pulled out a. Was it 16% or something or whatever? 18%. And the guy that comes over, he goes, "Oh, do you want two glasses with that? You know, you're going to share it. It's quite a difficult drink, sort of thing." And we did. We shared it, and it wasn't lucky. I mean, it wasn't too bad, was it?
No.
But you could tell it's probably 18%, and you probably wouldn't have another one. But it was one of those you tick it off, sort of thing.
It was exactly
a session beer.
It wasn't a session beer. No. However, we did have a bit of a session that night. The short and tall of it was, I'm face planted in the pub on a wooden floor, and we missed our train on the way home. When we say missed, I managed to get off it. Gaz ended up in the middle of nowhere.
Well, yeah, Adam said, I'm just nipping to the loo on the train, and then about 5 minutes later, I get a message. He goes, Gaz, where are you? I said, I'm on the train. He went, what are you doing on the train? I got off. What do you mean you got off the train? I said, what happened to leave no man behind, sort of thing? Right. So I'm still on the train. Anyway, long story short, I got in about an hour and a half after Adam did, and, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah,
it was some good times.
It was a van. What was the name of that? The Salt Horse?
Salt Horse House, was it, or something? Like yeah, it was a brilliant place. We met a couple of friends up there, and we visited it a couple of times, actually. It was the first night we were there, we had a nice couple of beers, and then we went back and had another couple of beers or something. And we always said if we go back up again, we'd go. Decent place, really decent place.
Yeah. Yeah. Wives don't let us out too fast, too much these days.
Yeah. I have to take mine with me. So, you know.
Yeah. That's not...
You see, I don't mind that, don't we?
Yeah. That's not so bad, dude. I think you've got the right plan there. You've got the right plan.
I never get lost anymore. So.
No. Oh, that's a bonus. That's something that we can't say. Yeah, definitely. No. So, yeah, so Vault City, they, like I say, they do some very, very magical beers. And I've seen today on your Facebook as well that it might have been yesterday, I forget, you're setting up a separate page for your sour beers there because, like Gaz, not everybody's a fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I was posting the sour beers on the pub crawl page, and you'd always get the same 20, 30 people interact. And out of 30-odd thousand people nearly that we've got on there now, 20 or 30 people reacting. It suggests to me that the majority of people on that page really couldn't give two stuffs about my love for sour beer. So I thought, you know what, we'll set a little separate page up and go with it on there. So, yeah, I've been doing a little bit of research on some other sour beer breweries tonight and having a few before I came on with you guys. So there'll be a little bit of content going on to that tomorrow.
How are you with your Flemish sours?
Oh, I mean, I don't mind me Flemish sours. I think I had one tonight, actually. It was a Flemish one that was quite nice. They call these gozes a lot of the time as well, coming from that sort of area. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a Flemish red ale by the name of the Duchess de Bourgogne. I don't know if you've ever tried that one.
Don't. Don't do it.
It's bloody awful, to be honest with you. I like a sour beer. Now, you'll see people on the different beer pages who will say, this is good. This is exceptional. And these people, I presume, drink vinegar in their spare time because that's what it tastes like.
Yeah, it's awful.
But they do a chocolate cherry version, which isn't too bad.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that either. But no, the Duchess story is sort of legendary. We went down to London, myself, Adam, and another mate who loves his Belgian beer and got us. So I suppose in a way got me into drinking much more sort of craft beers, particularly sort of Belgian craft beers and stuff. So, and he said, "Oh, try this." He said, "There's a drink there. It's a Duchess. I'm not sure whether you like sours." And we sort of went into this place, and it actually, it's a place called Belgo. It's a Belgian sort of beer place, and they did food as well. It's not there anymore. It's closed down. It's a bit of a shame because it's a real good night out. And he said, "Anyways, try these." So we opened a bottle, and it didn't smell great. So I had a little sip. Oh, honestly, it was like drinking sarsens. It was awful. And I put it back down, and the barman goes, "You don't like that, do you?" I said, "No, I really, really don't." And he said, and to be fair to me, he went, "Do you want to change?" I was like, "Yes, please." And he let me exchange it. I mean, literally, I had like a sip sort of thing. And fair play to him. That's a, you know, he let me exchange. I can't remember what I had in its place, but that was my first experience of it. And nah, not for me. Not very pleasant, I'll be honest with you.
No. So talk me through then the logistics of your average weekend. How does it work? How do you pick a place?
Right. And... I mean, I pick a place by sitting on Google Maps on a Monday, usually, and just sort of scrolling out to see how far away things are, what towns we still need to do, what pubs there are, and then go, right, we've not been here, so we'll do that. These days, Holly can't come out on a Thursday, so I do a Thursday on my own these days. So it needs to be somewhere that I can easily get to on the train and then get home again. So... I think this Thursday I'm probably going to head to Stafford. I've been doing revisits because we only started the YouTube channel 7 months ago. So I've been doing revisits to places that we got round about half of the town before and didn't do the YouTube videos for. So I can go back, do a YouTube video, go to the best pubs again, and then try and do the rest of the town all included in one day. So a Thursday, it needs to be somewhere on a train, easily accessible, and I'm out from 10 in the morning until 11 o'clock at night, whenever time I roll back into Nottingham Station on the train. And they tend to be quite heavy days, especially if I'm going revisit. I always tag in the pubs where I'm going. And obviously then they know I'm coming and they know me. So it's a case of they're prepared for me when I get there. And I went to Ilkeston just down the road in Derbyshire a couple of Thursdays ago. Every single one of the pubs there knows me. Every single one of the pubs greeted me with a beer and at least one baby Guinness, if not something else of equally horrendous. Yeah. So I did 24 pubs in one day in Ilkeston on my own, but it wasn't just 24 halves. It was 24 beers plus extra beers plus God knows how many shots. When I got in, Holly was like, "You're steaming, aren't you?" I went, "Yep." So yeah, that was a hefty one. Fridays, Holly changed her job. She works for the council. Changed her job to work for the coroner's office in January. So Fridays now, it depends on what time she can finish and how much time off she's accrued during the week to be able to go early. And then we drive somewhere, usually an hour to an hour and a half away, book into a hotel and do Friday there. So I think this Friday we are... Where did I say for Friday? I can't remember what I said for Friday now. But we book into a hotel and then Saturday, then depending on where we are, we'll go somewhere within half an hour, 45 minutes of that hotel again Saturday night before the drive home on a Sunday. Average, if we can do 50 pubs across the 3 days, that's usually the week for us.
I'm not gonna lie, dude. That's a commitment to the cause.
That's a commitment. That's showing constitution of an ox. Yeah. Like, so you said you Thursday you had 20 odd pints and various baby.
I mean, Ilkeston was a special day. It's not normally quite as heavy as that. Ilkeston was a special day.
And then you wake up the following morning and think, I'll just do it all over again.
Yeah. Well, actually, I wake up the following morning and think, bollocks, I've got 2 hours worth of video to edit and all this post to do before I can even get on the road on Friday. Yeah.
It's like a second job, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is essentially, but. The whole point of doing it was as a hobby to try and help promote pubs and give them some free advertising. Now it's gone to being from more of a hobby to a full-time thing where people are invested now. And the followers that we've got grows massively. Like we started the year, I think, on Facebook on 19,000 followers. We're just coming up now to nearly 30,000. So in the last 6 to 8 weeks, it's really pushed on. And yeah. I feel like people are relying on us now. I feel like Beer Man. If I was a superhero, I'd be Beer Man. But I need to get one of those hats, you know, with the two cup holders on either side of the straws. That would be my uniform, my superhero uniform, yeah.
Jeez, dude. There's a commitment there. And do you know what? Fair play to you because, you know, I know the entertainment industry, you know, it's gone through a bit of a tough time over the last couple of years, hasn't it? Fewer people getting out to pubs. So the more people that you can encourage to get out there, the better, I would say.
Oh, 100%. I'm just curious. You said when you've started, has anybody else previous to you done this, attempted it? And if they did, how far did they get? Did they just either run out of money or time or love for beer or...
Think there is a guy. There was a Daily Mail article on him or something a little while ago where he'd done something like 30,000 pubs, but he'd done them over about 40 years. So he's been going. Obviously, this was long before social media started. So I think as a sort of a social media pioneer for pubs, we're probably the ones who've now started it and sort of leading the way with it. Because I can't find anybody with a record or any sort of Facebook pub like us that's done the level that we've done. But there are little ones. We do spawn small ones to go around. There's some doing it in Blackpool, some doing it in Shropshire. They call themselves Shropshire Swillers. They're good guys. They're going around the whole of their little county. But they've only got 460-odd pubs to do. So it's never gonna be massive to them. But, yeah, we do see little ones pop up again every now and again. And we get people messaging, say, well, because of your pub crawl, we've started our own little one. And it's all hard for pubs, isn't it? So the more little copycats there are, the better.
Absolutely.
Only 460. That's pathetic.
Yeah. I mean,
exactly. Weeks. I could do that in 3 weeks.
Good.
I was just trying to work out then 50 a day. Okay. So how many weeks is that? That's less than a month.
50 a weekend. 50 a weekend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 50 a weekend.
Okay. Yeah. I will just say, though, if you're a good lady wife, though, you know, if I worked in a coroner's office, I'd need a stiff drink on the weekend.
Yes.
I had to sneak
you had to do that.
Yeah, I did. Guys have seen me reaching over for that, but he knew something.
I knew a bad guy.
I apologize. So, yeah, Stuart has a question for us. Stuart, God bless him, has said he's never tried a sour beer. Which one would you recommend for a first timer like himself to try?
It's got to be a Vault City, hasn't it? Because they are the leaders, I think, in the sour beer market at the moment. If you want an easy one to drink, Stuart, go to your local Morrison's. Because in Morrison's, they do stock two pretty easy drinkable Vault City ones. I think it's a passion fruit and a Bellini type one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mango. It's a mango one or a peach Bellini. And the mango one especially is very, very easy drinking. It's only about 4%. It's not massively expensive in there. It's not a massively hard drink. And if you want to see how your taste buds go with a sour beer, go to your local Morrison's, get one of those Vault City mango ones from there and see how you go with that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good advice, that. It's a nice, thick one as well.
It's really good.
Yeah, that is. And I think Tesco's do one as well. They do a strawberry, coconut, and raspberry one as well, maybe. And that one is also pretty good as well. I'd recommend that one as a first time. But, Gaz, don't shake your head. Don't shake your head. I promise you. You'll enjoy it.
Says the man who's drinking Corona Light.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, have you noticed then, since you've been doing this, has your resistance to alcohol increased or decreased?
I ran pubs for 20 years. I was a licensee all the way up until COVID. I was a licensee. I ran pubs religiously. And while I was running pubs in my 20s as well, I DJed. So I've always been around alcohol since my late teens. And I used to smash Jaeger bombs and Sambucas and all sorts. And with the exception of Ilkeston a couple of weeks ago, I tend to lay off those most of the time when we're out now. Because now it's more of about the pub rather than me getting smashed. Yeah. So I think I probably drink less now, apart from Ilkeston, than I did for the years when I was DJing and stuff like that. So my alcohol tolerance has probably built up over 20 years and has always been kind of all right.
No, fair play. I've got to ask you about a drink you had in Ilkeston as well. And I've seen it. I've also checked it out to see if we can buy it online, and we can. Rude Boy Original.
Oh my word, the reggae thing, yeah, my God. Right, so the only pub you can get it in Ilkeston especially is the Harrow Inn, yeah.
Yeah. Sounds Harrow Inn as well.
They get it from imported directly from Jamaica, I believe. So it was a new one on me. I mean, it's I'm not a weed smoker, and I never have been, and it's not necessarily my cup of tea. But it was all right, to be fair. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
No. I mean, I'm going to have to try it out of just curiosity. I had a cannabis beer in Amsterdam. That tasted absolutely appalling. Again, save yourself. I ain't a weed smoker, but gee whiz, it did not taste good. It did not taste good at all.
No. Not sure, Adam. Well, I'm just... So, in terms of... I mean, when you're at home, what is it that you've grabbed a beer tonight or whatever. What would you drink at home? Would it be sort of still on looking at the craft line, or is it something a little bit more easy going? Or
I've now got a fridge full of craft beers. Yeah, but I mean, right. So I've been over to a brewery again this morning, and come home with cans and stuff to go in the fridge. So there's a wealth of craft in my fridge.
What sort of percentage would you drink then?
Oh, I mean, some of them ones that are in my fridge are up towards the 10% sort of thing.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. But the funniest thing is, I go and do this on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and occasionally Sunday as well. Honestly, you're given all these beers now, which is lovely, and I don't mind trying them, I don't mind reviewing them, I don't mind sticking them up for a bit of publicity for the pubs. But when it gets to Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, if I'm at home, the last thing I really want to do is start smashing through the alcohol beer. It's like, sometimes it's nice to have a day off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just trying it when the last day off was, but sure it's fine.
No, that's interesting. Wait, tell us a little bit about the beer you're enjoying tonight, then. Give us a bit of a review of that one, because it's one.
Well, this is, obviously, I also used to run, I used to be a professional wrestler, semi-professional wrestler in my time. I ran a wrestling show, traveling wrestling show as well. So I've always been a wrestling fan. And Brew Cavern, Nottingham's premier beer shop, have started stocking Steve Austin, that's for wrestling people, that's Stone Cold Steve Austin, yep. Broken Skull American Lager. Comes in at 4.8%, and I've never tried one. Went and picked some up yesterday. Thought I'd crack one open with you boys tonight. And honestly, it's very good. I wasn't expecting much. I was wondering if it was all going to be about the hype, and just the name and everything like that. Is the lager going to live up to it? It comes from El Segundo Brewing Company in America. But actually, the lager itself, pretty decent. Seven odd quid a can over here, though, so... Wow. I'm not sure it's 7 quid's worth.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's as a wrestling fan as well, it's nice to have one of these, Steve Weiser, as you might call it. it's nice to crack one of these open.
I've just got visions of you sort of standing on your armchair with like two cans and just like smashing them together. Yeah. Just like
that. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah, I threatened to do that yesterday, and Holly just looked at me and said, "You dare." I'm gonna try that.
Yeah, you do that. I'm gonna land the people's elbow on you. That's what I'm gonna do.
So I mean, I think he does an IPA as well, which is near a 7%, which I wouldn't mind getting hands on. It's supposed to be very, very hoppy. So go on then, dude. Please, you told us about it. Tell us about your wrestling days then. What did you have a name? What was your gimmick?
Well, we spent ages and ages. My surname is Harvey, so my name is Dale Harvey. So we spent hours coming up with all these crap shit names that I could change my name to, like the Iron something or the Mad whatever, and all of them were totally crap. And after about 3 hours of sitting there running through a million of these names, writing them all down, we went, you know what would be a really cool way of doing it? Like, just turn your name around. So I became Harvey Dale. And Harvey Dale sounds so much cooler than Dale Harvey to begin with. A complete waste of 3 hours of my life. And then we did that. But if you ever watch Come Dine With Me, you'll find me on reruns on an episode of Come Dine With Me with a wrestling ring in my back garden on a week's worth of Come Dine With Me. That's Harvey Dale, yeah.
I will look for that, dude.
I'm definitely going to have to look for that now.
I've probably seen it, to be honest. I love Come Dine With Me. It's a great show. Did you win? Spoiler alert.
I finished second by a point, but I should have won. I was robbed. I had a wrestling ring in the back garden. The girl that won it, she read a fucking poem. A poem! That was an entertainment!
Yeah, you've been robbed. You've been robbed there.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but it like it.
Yeah. Man, that's quality. What was that experience like then, being on Come Down With Me?
It was good, but it's, I mean, give away to see. It's so, you know when you get in the taxi at the end of the night and they're like, all, like you're driving around giving your score, like this is your taxi home. That's not your taxi home. You sit in that, it drives around the block, then picks the next one up and drops you off.
Yeah.
Or they say that you get there and he does the old voiceover. He's like, first to arrive was Dale. Like, no, Dale wasn't first to arrive, mate. Dale was fourth to arrive. You've just had the other poor sap sat in their taxis the last 2 hours waiting for me to get here.
Jesus.
And they send you in the order they want you to go. If you're talking about stuff that they don't want to talk about, they can't use, they say, no, guys, change the subject. We can't talk about this. Or they feed you things to talk about.
Wow.
But, yeah, it was a good experience. I'm glad I did it. But, yeah, I'm bored of it now. It was about 10 years ago I was on it, and it's on all the time on these repeats. It's always on. I constantly get Facebook tags. People go, oh, I'm watching you on Come Down with Me. I wonder if you'll win this time. Yawn.
You just know that Adam's going to do that, though.
I'll have a look. But a friend of mine, he's been on it as well, Rich Morton. And they won it. Morton, he won it. And he was on it with Eddie the Beast Hall, like the world's strongest man.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you got them coming around his house. And
that's impressive.
He can eat.
Yeah, I can imagine the size of him. Yeah. Well, he's obviously local to us, isn't he? So
exactly, know, yeah, exactly. Mal Coffey was based at the time. That's impressive, dude. So I take it, when you did your wrestling, were you the heel?
Oh, yeah, always the bad guy, yeah.
Yeah, don't take it the wrong way, but you got that look about you, dude. Yeah. I think you'd make a good heel.
Always the bad guy. Because I was always good at talking, my talking was always better than my wrestling as well. So my little moniker that went with Harvey Dale was the man with the golden tongue. And that just screams arsehole straight away. This guy's going to be a dick. So, yeah, it went brilliantly, yeah.
Brilliant. The man the grannies love to hate. Oh, you know what I mean?
One of my first experiences was getting hit with an old Doris in the first night. She was hitting me with her walking stick as I walked past. Yeah.
Brilliant.
That's quality. So you said you ran a pub there up until sort of COVID time. Was it that put the kibosh on it, or did you just fancy a career change?
It was a bit of both, yeah. I'd done it for so long, working 80-odd hours a week for a long period of time. I learned new skills as well. So now I frame up signed sporting memorabilia for memorabilia companies. So I work hard doing that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and that pays enough for me to go out at the weekend and spank what I do on the beers. So, yeah, nice. It was coming to an end anyway. I got to the point where when the pub closed, I thought, well, it's time for a career change. So I found myself something else that I could do during COVID to still keep the money coming in, and then decided, no, you know what, let's get to the other side of the bar rather than going back to this.
Yeah. I take it. I mean, for a man who spends as much time in pubs, I'm guessing you enjoyed your time running pubs. It must have been a difficult decision.
Yeah, it was a difficult decision. I loved it. It was great. But there are so many. But it's so hard these days, especially. It's getting harder. And that was something that we recognised when we were seeing pubs closed down on the side of the road as we were driving past all the time. And it just it gets demoralizing. You think, right, we need to. So I said, rather than running one myself, I'm going to go out and try and help these ones that are closing and see what we can do. So let's try and keep some others open.
I like that. Yeah. I think that's a good approach, dude.
I mean, as you said, it must be hard when you're in the industry and obviously COVID hit and, you know, there's lots of industries that took a hit, but you know, the hospitality catering industry in particular, because people literally just weren't going out, not allowed to. And then obviously slightly post-COVID, there was obviously the financial implication of then going back out again and stuff. So it must have been quite difficult. And it was awful to see loads of industries because, you know, everybody likes going out. But you go to your local, and then your local closes down, and then you have to travel a bit further. So you go out slightly less because it's not your local. So then it's more of a ball ache to go there, et cetera, and all of these just tiny little things add up to, you know, an industry basically, you know, crawling on its knees sort of thing. I mean, it's nice to see it slightly recovering, but it's obviously not back to where it was. So it must be quite difficult for you being in that industry to think. I mean, how did you find the decision? I mean, was it quite easy to find something else? How did you fall into it? Was it something in the back of your mind that you'd always thought you wanted to do? Or
I'd used to frame up stuff in my own pubs. So it was a school that I sort of learned and taught myself. And everyone was like, oh, they're really well. So started doing a little bit for other pubs. Because they were like, oh, who framed yourself? So I did. So I was doing that. I made a few contacts and things through that anyway.
Yeah.
And then one of the companies I was buying the frames from said, look, do you want a job framing these up for us? We'll pay you per frame you do. So it's up to me what I earn, how many I do. They just tell me what needs doing during the week, and I go ahead and do it like that. So, yeah, it was an easy decision as such to make with regards to doing that, because it's work from home, it's write your own paycheck, isn't it? So
yeah,
that was easy, and that certainly beats 80 odd hour weeks.
Yeah, sure.
In a struggling industry, so. And now I get to go and support that industry that I do love in a different way. So, yeah, I've got the best of both worlds now, really.
And Adam said, you know, do you miss running the pub? I want to ask, do you miss DJing? Because I can imagine that, you know, when you're there and, I mean, God, my clubbing days, A, they weren't massive when I was 19, 20, but they're long gone now. Do you know what I mean? But when you DJ, you know, do you miss that buzz? Do you miss the vibe of having those people almost in the palm of your hand sort of thing, or...?
Yeah, that's the attention seeker thing, and that's the same as the wrestling. When you're out there performing in front of the crowd in a wrestling ring, even if you're not, you've got that crowd, and they're all loving, or in my case, booing everything you do. And the more hate you get, the more reaction. And this is why there's a lot of depression goes around with performers, because while you're out there and you're in the spotlight and you're getting that crowd reaction, whether it be DJing or wrestling, it feels like the sun's shining on you, and it's great. And you get back behind the curtain, and it's hard. And I've lost a lot of friends to suicide that were wrestlers and things like that that have all taken their own lives, because when the spotlight isn't there, it is hard. And probably that's why I'm enjoying what we're doing with the pub call. And now the way the pub thing's growing more and more, and we're being recognised, and it feels like we're making a difference now.
Yeah.
The level we've got to. We're making a difference to some of these pubs. And we get messages. The best messages we ever get off people now are, oh, we saw your post, and because of you, now these people have come in, or this has got busier. And that's that same kind of a thing for me. The feeling that I would get from DJing or from wrestling is now knowing, it's the satisfaction knowing that what we've done is out there and being viewed by people, and it's making a difference.
Yeah.
So I've kind of still got that little buzz, but in a completely different way now.
Yeah.
I mean, 30,000 as well, that's no small amount of followers on Facebook, dude. That's pretty impressive.
It's mad. That is
pretty impressive, yeah. And again... You know, I know you sort of say you like the attention, and certainly there's something about your character in terms of the stuff that you've done. It's not an ordinary journey that people travel down, like doing their 9 to 5. So I find that interesting in itself, and the fact that we found you and wanted to reach out to you and have a conversation with you. You're the right sort of person to do that, because you're very engaging. So it's no wonder that it's working well, and you're clearly very passionate about it as well, dude.
Thank you.
And you're 30,000, and you said that, you know, it's your sort of wish that you inspire people to go, and you've got 30,000 people, and if just, you know, each one of those 30,000 people go and visit one pub, that's 30,000 visits that industry has more because of what you're doing, you know, and that's, I suppose...
If each one of those people go to a pub next week and they spend a fiver, that's £150,000 that we've generated for the industry... in that week. So we hope that it keeps growing. We hope that people do keep taking the interest. We hope to get to more and more and more pubs as we can, more and more towns. As I said, because we go to towns and try and say, look, when people are looking for an alternative, they'll message and say, oh, what such and such is like as a town. And I can say to them, right, well, here's 15 pubs in that town. This is what they offer. This is what you can go and have.
Yeah.
And it might encourage people to go to those towns as well and try the towns out. So like Congleton. Yeah. Said, I mean, we love Congleton. I would always now send people over to Congleton and say, look, that's a really great night out. Probably not somewhere you've ever considered going before. Go.
It is a good night out, to be fair.
Yeah. There's some belting sort of pubs, and, you know, again, it's a while since I've sort of drank out in Congleton, probably 20 odd years, but, you know, obviously you hear people around and say, away off to your home, just, you know, going out to Congleton. It's like, all right, decent out. Yeah, good boozers, you know, good atmosphere, loads going on, you know, because I think the thing is as well is that, you know, you need a bit of a variety in the pub. If every pub was the same, it would become a bit boring, isn't it? So I suppose what you're looking for is a bit of diversity. You're looking at, you know, a couple of your traditional sort of country pubs, and then a couple of your slightly more music orientated pubs, and there's a variety. Within a particular town, and that's what you're after.
100%, and that's exactly why when we go, if someone says, "Oh, avoid this pub, it's shit," we don't listen to that. We'll go to everything, whether it be the sports bar, or the live music bar, or the cocktail bar, or what. We will try and do everything in the town to show what the diversity is, because you'll always get people in a group that'll say, "Oh, well, okay, but I'd really like to go for a quick cocktail or something." So we'll show them where they can go. In the town, and try and encourage everybody to say, look, you can have a good night at it, and you can go, you've got the different places all in the palm of your hand, really.
How far ahead I mean, you mentioned it was on a Monday, basically, of that week that you decide where you go. I mean, do you ever sort of publish where you go, and then, you know, you and this is going to sound really cheesy, like, you know, like you meet and greet, it's like, well, I'm going to be in this place this weekend, and like you get people coming along going, oh, I'll come for a beer with you, or is that the attention that you want, or does that happen?
Yeah, because again, us being in somewhere, we get asked for photos of people all the time now. Some of the pubs and stuff always say, can we have a photo with you? Like, yeah, of course you can. If we publicise where we're going and people who follow the page want to come and meet us, that is encouraging those people then to come and spend some money and some time in that pub. And that was the whole point of it to begin with. So, yeah, stop me for a photo, stop us for a chat, whatever you like. Come and meet us, whatever. You're not hurting anybody by coming out. All you're doing is putting money in the pub till and helping keep the industry going.
Yeah, brilliant.
And we like meeting new people, yeah.
Fair play. So as well as we, you know, there's people that are going to come up and visit you and say hello as well. And, you know, the pubs are clearly pleased to see you. You've got a couple of places which are helping you out doing a few giveaways as well. So was it one recently I saw the Blue Monkey Brewery. Do you want to tell us about those and how that plans out?
Yeah, today. Went over to Blue Monkey this morning. Local brewery from Nottingham. Do some wonderful beers. And people think that they're just a real ale brewery and they've been around for a while now, but they've really upped their game in 2024. They've put a lot of craft cans together, a lot of good stuff. We're going to actually brew a beer with them. So nice. I went over today to talk about what we're going to brew. We're going to brew a peanut stout, I think. So I had a peanut stout a few weeks ago and it's one of the best things I've ever said. So I want to try and do or outdo that peanut stout that I had. So we're going to brew one of them together with Blue Monkey. But they said, look, here, take this pack. You use this as a giveaway. So whoever the first one to find me while we're out and about this week and say, get the beers in, this six-pack of beers from Blue Monkey's going home with them. So it's another nice way of raising the profile of the brewery and making sure that I'm putting out there the brewery's name and say, look, like their Facebook page, give them a look and see what they've got. And come and find me. You can have these beers for free. So
Winner.
And as you say, it gets the name of the brewery out there, gets the name of the pubs out there. People come to find you in the pubs, and then all of a sudden they'll try the free giveaway and they go, actually, this is all right. Oh, yeah. I'll have a couple more of them, and that promotes the purchasing and so on, and that's I mean, obviously that's why the brewery do it. But again, it's just getting that name out there, getting people to understand that actually, you know, they do some decent stuff, so I'll go and buy some.
Yeah. And people can keep an eye out for that peanut stout when it comes out in the future.
What are you going to call it though? You've got to think of a decent name.
It's got to be. I came up with this earlier. It's got to be Monkey Want a Peanut, hasn't it?
Nice.
Or Monkey See Monkey Drink. I don't know. One of the other. I think Monkey Want a Peanut. Maybe.
Yeah.
If you pay peanuts, you get monkey. I don't know. If you pay peanuts, I don't know. Yeah. Pay peanuts, you get monkeys.
I don't know about paying peanuts. We're probably looking at this being at least 8 to 9%. So maybe not paying peanuts, but it'll be worth it.
Don't pay peanuts. Drink. No, I don't know. Well, I'm sure you'll smash it. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't listen to him.
Yeah. Rubbish.
Nah, that is one to look out for. That is one to look out for in the future. So, like Gaz said, you know, you might not plan things too far in advance. Is there any places that are on your list that you haven't got to yet that are absolute must visit places?
Oh, I mean, we obviously, there's plenty of London pub crawls you can go and do that we want to go and do. We did, I see Stuart's just said about York. Yeah, we did the Golden Fleece in York not long ago. York is a wonderful place to go drinking in. Edinburgh was a wonderful place to go drinking in. Liverpool, we haven't made it to yet. We want to go to Liverpool. But I said although we do like big cities, it's nice to go the little towns are our bread and butter. They're the ones that need more support than these big cities like Liverpool, Manchester, Leeds, stuff like that. So, there's loads of little towns all over. They're like Manchester, we've got Manchester. There's loads of little towns around the outskirts of Manchester that are probably really underrated. We did Altrincham at New Year. Yep. Yeah. Burnley, Blackburn, Bolton, they all look to have a load. Oldham, they all look to have a load of really good little beer houses in them. And if you go up there, but you're not from the area, you'll go to Manchester, won't you? We're going to try to encourage people to give the other little towns a chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, and Bath. Bath is well and truly, or Bath, as you lot probably say it, is well and truly on my hit list.
Yeah, Bath is decent. Bath is decent.
I've been to Bath a few times. I can't remember specific sort of beers and stuff that I had there, but Bath as a city is beautiful.
We went to Castleford on Saturday, and obviously I want to call it Castleford because I speak Queensland. And I started a YouTube video and I said, right, we're in Castleford and I'm going to make a conscious effort to say Castleford all day, not say Castleford. I lasted one pub. And then fucked it straight away. I said Castle, but straight on the video, I can see everybody turning around looking at me going, who's this cockney twat?
I was about to say this. So you're not originally from Nottingham then, no?
No, I'm not. No, in 1990 World Cup, I was 9 years old. I remember Stuart Pearce, and I love Stuart Pearce. I remember seeing him miss that penalty and thinking, yeah, that's the hardest man I've ever seen playing football. And he's crying. That's how much it means to him. I'm going to support who he plays this for. And my dad, God rest his soul, never worded me up and went, don't do that, it'll be shit. And it has been shit.
I was about to say, yeah, he wasn't wrong, was he?
Yeah. And it's still shit. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah. Well, although I'm from this part of the world, I'm an Arsenal fan, so you know, we've probably inflicted a bit of misery on you over the years as well.
Although, sometimes we occasionally get our comeuppance on things, don't we? So
you do.
Yeah. There's occasionally a glitch in the matrix, and we manage to wangle something out of you. So not at the moment. I don't want to play you at the moment. My word.
No, we are.
No,
we're
on fire at the
strong
moment.
At the moment. Yeah. And I am enjoying it. It has to be said. It does have to be said. So just taking you back then to what you do at the moment, I'd be interested to know what's the most interesting piece of sporting memorabilia that you've framed up recently?
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of Man United fans everywhere, aren't there? Apart from Manchester, ironically.
I was going to say, if you go to Manchester, Burnley, Alden, you won't find any up there.
So I did a mate's a few days ago. He's a lad that I've known for 20-odd years, but he's a Man United fan from Nottingham, born and bred in Nottingham, obviously. So, yeah, he sent me a few. So there was a Cantona one and a Beckham one, proper Man United shirts. They were lovely to do. Like, yeah. I'm, as an England fan, I'm a big David Beckham fan anyway, and always was. So, yeah, doing a nice David Beckham shirt is always something that, yeah, I take great pride in making sure that looks pucker.
Oh,
any England shirt, though, especially like a Gazza one. I did a Gazza one not long ago, 1990 World Cup Gazza one signed. Beautiful shirt.
Nice. Any Everton stuff?
Real memories.
Yeah. Any Everton stuff?
Shh, let's not talk about that.
I think I did once do a Leighton Baines shirt, yeah.
Class. And actually, it hurts me to say that they were doing a poll, and was it Shearer and Lineker? And they were doing, was it their top 10? Fullbacks or something, and Leighton Baines didn't get into either of their.
Well,
and I'm like, oh, he's so underrated. If he'd have moved from Everton and he'd have gone to one of the bigger teams at the time, you know, he'd have got like massive more England recognition, although he did have Ashley Cole in front of him, and Ashley Cole, as much as I dislike the guy, was a phenomenal left back. So, you know, I can't argue too much about that, but Leighton Baines was so underrated. He's such a good player.
He was a good player.
I bet I dislike Ashley Cole more.
But you probably do. And I bet that YTS lad that he shot probably doesn't like him either.
probably not too fond of it. Probably not too fond. So where did you think you were going to be this weekend then? Did you say Nantwich was a possibility?
Nantwich is a possibility. I need to sit and work them out and finalise. I've got a list of places where I narrow it down to two or three that we, and then we do them over the next two or three weeks. So yeah, Nantwich is definitely on the cards for either this week or next week. But we're also, so there's still a bit of Stoke to do. We haven't done the Hartshill Mile or whatever it's called yet.
Yeah,
right. We haven't done that. So they're on there. Yeah, so
Stoke's Thursday, a bit of shit on.
Thursday, I'm probably going back to Stafford.
Right, yeah.
So that'll be an interesting one. Ooh, there was Wellingborough, Sutton Coalfields. That's an option for the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Kidderminster.
Right.
What about Knutsford?
Knutsford by Manchester. Yeah, we're working our way sort of that way, aren't we? So.
Yeah.
The only thing I know about Knutsford is that's our awful service station. And what is it? On the M...
the M6.
The M6. Every time I was on the way to Manchester for wrestling or anything like that, we used to get to Knutsford service and be like, oh, here we go, lads. Now we've started. Yeah.
It's doggo. Yeah, it's doggo. Yeah. But Knutsford itself is actually quite a good night. There's some really, really good pubs in Knutsford.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's that sort of Cheshire Wives area, isn't it?
So yeah.
I'll get that on the list then, yeah.
Yeah, it posh-ish. But it's not quite sort of Alderley Edge and stuff, is it? Which is like the sort of very rich Cheshire set as such. But Knutsford is, you know, there's a couple of decent, there's more than a couple. There's quite a few decent boozers in there. So that's definitely worth a visit.
Altrincham was very nice when we did the outskirts of Manchester. Altrincham was lovely.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Altrincham is very nice. My sister.
Although, if you go to sort of up that way. Didsbury as well is lovely. And there used to be something when we played, because I played a lot of cricket, and there used to be something called the Didsbury Dozen. So basically there was a dozen ale houses, and and people used to start at one end and then go to the other end, and it was a Didsbury Dozen. Haven't done that for a number of years, but Didsbury itself is lovely.
Yeah, it is well worth a visit. So in terms of that, then, you sort of said you have an idea about a place before you turn up. What's the most surprised you've been by a place you expected it to be an absolute shithole, and it turned out to be?
There are two. Bradford, honestly, could not have been dreading going to Bradford more, because you just, it's somewhere that you only ever hear bad stories about Bradford. Like, you see some of the cop shows and things like that. You're like, this is going to be hell on earth. And it's actually, the city centre is really nice. And the people were friendly, the pubs were lovely. Couldn't knock it. And the other one, Hull. I used to do wrestling shows in Hull. And I remember we'd get off the motorway, go over the Humber Bridge, and it's like the soul was being sucked from your body going over that Humber Bridge. And you get there, and you drive by a load of shops that look like they've all had drive-bys. So they're all boarded up, or there's holes in the way, and you're like, my God, this place is a dump. But we went to the Old Town in Hull for the pub crawl, and it was amazing. Some of the oldest, nicest, most beautiful pubs I've ever been in. And this was the first weekend of January we went there as well, and it was still busy.
That's good.
So Hull's Old Town and Bradford are the two that have shocked us the most, I'd say.
Wow. And okay, so I'll ask the flip question then. Where was the place that I suppose you're expecting to be like really, really, really good, and you were really, really looking forward to it, and then it ended up being an absolute fucking car crash?
Well, you see, man, we've talked about Crewe already, haven't we? Because I football team are called Crewe Alexandra, and it sounds a bit royal, don't you? Like, this must be a nice place. Like, no other team's got Alexandra as their second. It's not, they're not called like Crewe Rovers or something shit like that, are they? They're called Crewe Alexandra. This must be a great place. And it was crap. Yeah. So yeah, I went to Crewe thinking, well, Crewe must be a really nice place. And it's
No,
it's not, is it really? No. So yeah, Crewe was the opposite end of the scale of not great.
It's just great. We're quite close to Crewe. It is a shithole, and you've obviously visited it and have exactly the same opinion of it, which is incredible.
Although we'll say kinder words about the football club, because Bailey, who manages the club, lives just around the corner.
Yeah, Lee, if you're listening, sorry, Lee, you're doing a fantastic job. Keep up the good work.
Oh, Hanley in Stoke as well. Hanley.
Oh, Hanley's a shit hole, mate.
We went to Stoke on Trent, knowing nothing about it. We headed for Stoke, the little area called Stoke, thinking that that must be the city centre.
Yeah, no.
So we do about five pubs, and it's a Saturday, and there is no, it's like a ghost town. We get in the fifth pub, and I say to the last person in the bar, I say, oh, excuse me, like, what time does he get busy? And she had a little chuckle to herself, and she looked at me, and she went, what do you mean? I said, well, what time does the town get busy? She went, well, it doesn't. So what do you mean it doesn't? She was like, well, it doesn't get busy. Like, this is as good as it'll get, about 40 people in a 200-seater pub. I'm like, oh. So it's not. She went, no. I said, we're not in the city centre. And she went, no, love, you want Hanley. So I'm like, oh, right. So, tail between our legs, we went home. We went back to Hanley about 2 weeks later, having heard that this was the city centre of Stoke.
Yeah.
And it's, again, there's nothing left there. It's absolutely dead. Hardly any pubs there left. I mean, what the pubs that were there were all right. But we ended up walking a long, long way around the outskirts just to make it worthwhile, just to do the Hanley pubs. And the actual city centre part, nothing there.
No.
Did you do the wholly inadequate in Hanley by any chance?
I think we did,
Yeah, that's about the best one. That's about the best one in Hanley.
You see, I mean, Hanley's not that far away, and I'm trying to think of
because I work there.
It's a decent pub, and I couldn't really name one if I'm honest.
No. I tell you, you've got a bit of an idea for you as well. So, you know, you're very well established. I know you want to do all your videos and what have you put together. But as a little sideline, I wonder, because what's very popular now is home pubs. So whether people are built like in their garages and in their spare rooms, whether you could do something like that, where you could create something as a content that is slightly separate to what you do, and do a few visits to those when you're visiting the different places as well. Just share some of those out there.
Yeah, I love the idea. It's definitely something I would consider doing. Yeah, I mean, I could go and do them. Then they're going to be open on a Monday and Tuesday as well, aren't they? I could go on a Monday Tuesday. Yeah, yeah. That'd be But yeah, it's definitely something that I love a home bar, and eventually one day we want to have a home bar. Not that we'd ever be at home to drinking it, but we eventually...
I was going
to
say, never in.
Yeah, we want to have one. So it is something, yeah, we definitely like to go and see what people have designed in their gardens and stuff like that. Maybe we'll get a TV deal out of it. Who knows?
You never know. Yeah, you never know. So what's the end goal out of this, dude? How far can you take it?
I mean, the world is our oyster now, I think, because it's already blown up so much more than I ever thought it would do. Yeah. And as I said, to have seen the growth that we've had just since January alone, since the turn of the new year, so we've grown 11,000 followers on top of that in that short space of time is massive. And yeah, the more it grows now, the better for all of us. Because I said, the pubs seem to get it as well. Like, the bigger we get, the more pubs we get to, the more free publicity they get, the more people that see what they've got to offer. And it's just, we're just going to keep going. I said, we're committed, fully committed to the cause. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, without fail, we're always out. All right, certainly, and see if Holly's got something to do. I'm still out. We're committed to doing it and keeping it going for as long as we possibly can. So,
yeah. And have you sort of calculated or roughly calculated sort of how long it would take you, and where's that final number in terms of sort of, is it months, years? You know, how long do you think it might take you?
Well, I mean, I tried to do a pie chart where I was trying to work out how many pubs and how many we'd have to do a week to get there. And then on the bottom line, I just sort of put how long my liver would last. And I'm not sure that was going to correspond with how long it would take us. So the answer to that is, as long as my body doesn't give out, right, we go.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that's the challenge, I suppose. We should say that responsibly as well.
Yeah, drink responsibly, folks.
Yeah, that's it. We've done our bit. It's interesting. So the flip side of it is, at the moment, you know, I think people always talk about the idea, where would you like to take this? The idea ultimately would be maybe getting the TV deal, getting your own TV show out of it. But if you keep building the following the way that you're going at the moment, there's no need to do that, because enough people watch shows on YouTube, enough people follow content like this, that the end goal doesn't need to be that TV show. You're already doing it in many ways.
Yeah. As long as what we're doing is still beneficial to the industry, we're still having fun, and we're still helping. The TV deal doesn't necessarily bother me. I said the whole point is, yeah, we'll grow our YouTube following, we'll grow that, hopefully get some eyes on us. And the bigger we grow, so the old videos, they'll still be on YouTube, so there'll still be people that can then they'll hear about us, and they'll think, oh, I wonder if they've been to Coventry or Derby or something, and they can then go back and oh yeah, they have, right, and you can watch that. And then those pubs again that we visited, say, a year, 2 years ago, they'll still get the privilege out of it again then.
So, of course, yeah.
Yeah,
and the thing is, as well, nowadays, you know, you look at, back in the day, you know, the sort of the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow was a TV deal. Whereas nowadays, you know, you look at the explosion of social media, and it's not just, you know, it's not just YouTube. You know, you've got lots of the streaming sites. You've got lots of social media sites. So, you know, you grow that side of it, and actually, you know, you can, I say, earn a pretty income from just your social media streaming. And if you continue to grow the way that you're growing, then actually, you know what, whether you get the TV deal or not, and I get the impression you're not doing it for financial gain as such. You know, if it comes, great, and if it happens, hey, nobody's going to knock it.
It'd be nice to get the financial side of it just to even itself out. So we spend at least £300 to £400 every week, I suppose, doing this, because the travel, the hotels, the drinks, the food, everything else. So it'd be nice to even just get to the point where it's not costing us to do that. That'd do me, and then who knows where it goes from there. But at the moment, that'd do me.
Yeah, fair play. Yeah, we say that same thing about the podcast. We like to get it to the stage, but you know, we only just dip on our toe in terms of video. We've only just started live streaming, and we're really sort of looking at what we could do to make it. You know, because basically what we're doing is an audio podcast. If people tune in and watch it, that's fine. We appreciate it. Thank you for watching. However, the real intent, you know, the audio podcast goes out, like we said, across the bottom there to 62 countries, and we appreciate every single one of you. And yes, we are still in the Cambodian podcast.
Oh, we're still there?
Yeah. So that's 2 months going strong now.
Yeah, well, two months in the Cambodian podcast charts. You know, you can't knock it. They obviously know their podcast pretty well over there. And look, we do it. And myself and Adam have said, you know, we started it, God, 3 years ago, was it? 4 years ago. Episode 216 down, you know, so, you know, we're in top 10% of podcasts globally, and you don't do it because necessarily you want, you reckon. We just do it because we enjoy doing it, which is the same thing as you're doing. We do it because on a Tuesday night, we like to meet people like yourself. And as Adam said, our podcast is such an eclectic mix of various things. You know, one week we're talking about beer. The next week we're talking to a Canadian guy who's written a song about a place that's about 2 miles away from where we live, which is just mind-blowing. It's just a massive... But we do it because we enjoy it. And that sounds exactly the same as yourself, Dale. You're doing it just because it's something you enjoy, something you're passionate about. And, you know, God bless you and long may it continue.
Thank you.
Indeed. And we always wrap these episodes up round about the hour mark. So, Dale, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it. You know, hearing your story. Did you want to tell people where they can find you on the different social media platforms?
So we've got the main ones that we're on, obviously, are the Facebook and the YouTube. So it's just The Great British Pub Crawl, facebook.com/ The Great British Pub Crawl, youtube.com/@ The Great British Pub Crawl. They're the two main ones. We are on TikTok as well, which is also @ The Great British Pub Crawl, and Instagram, where I do live. If you ever want to find us in the town and see where we've actually got to, we update the Instagram live with the photo. Literally, we take the photo, it goes straight on the Instagram. And that's just Great British Pub Crawl. British Pub Crawl on Instagram.
No, fair play. Brilliant. Fair play. Great stuff. Guys, final thoughts?
I'm slightly jealous. I'm not going to lie. I am slightly jealous. It sounds amazing. I mean, obviously, you know, it sounds amazing. It you enjoy it. It's good fun, but you're doing it for the right reasons, which is amazing because you're trying to support the industry and get people back out there enjoying socializing with each other, which is, you know, absolutely hats off to you. Look, I've loved this episode. It's great when we have guests on. It's great when we have first timers on. We don't say it to every guest, but I can't wait to have you on again and talk about where you've been and your trials and tribulations. So, you know, look forward to potentially later on in the year hooking up again and seeing how far you've got.
Well, let's make the next time we hook up, let's make it while we're on a pub crawl over near you somewhere.
Oh, we'll do that. 100%. We'll do that. We'll do a bit of a live outside broadcast, and we'll do an OB. And we'll do that. We've done a couple, and we've said we're looking forward to the next one. So 100% we'll do that, yeah.
Yeah. We've always had chaos, just for the record.
Yeah, it never works out as you plan, but that's just like the podcast normally, so it's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely. The next time you're up this way, although not this Saturday, though, because I can't do this Saturday, unfortunately, for Nantwich, which isn't too far away. But yeah, if you're ever in the area, Stoke or South Cheshire, drop us a message. We'll bring the microphones. We'll come and give you some support. And we might even buy you a beer if you're really lucky.
Superb. Even better. Sold.
And if you get one out of him, you'll do well because he's a tight ass. So that leaves it for me then, just to wrap it up and say thank you very much. We will share a link in the audio version of this episode so that people can find you on Facebook or on YouTube so they can hopefully enjoy your content the same way that I found you and enjoyed it as well. And we wish you all the best and we look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thanks a lot, guys.